8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Dr. Jason D.
Welcome, everybody. I forgot to turn my lights on. A little dark. It's okay. How is it going? It's Mondays with Morley. Morley, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
You're doing fine.
Yeah. Made it through another weekend. We're starting the fun fall. Seems like everyone's on edge right now. I'm not sure why.
Everyone's on edge. Mm-hmm. It does seem like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, it's very palpable. I don't know what it is. But something's going on. I think there's a whole lot of, we look at a duck on the water. It looks really smooth above the water. I think there's thrashing down below that we can't see.
I would agree. Yeah. Have you heard about this September 23rd stuff?
No.
There's something, the 23rd or 24th is happening.
Okay.
That's what I'm reading. I'm reading about it by a lot of people, not just mm-hmm. not just like Hopium people, actually numbers right. people, math people, people who actually say there's something going on, something happening.
Well, we've had dates come and go for many years.
That's right. So I have something very interesting. I have an interesting story for you. I had something fun, mm-hmm. right? A doozy.
That's right.
So our air conditioner had been strange the last like 6 to 9 months or so. And so we finally like, okay, let's figure out what's going on with it. So, you know, you do the service thing, et cetera. They come in. So this morning they show up and comes in. I'm like, hey, this is what's going on. It's also like dumping water on the handler or whatever they call it. And so I come out there. He goes, okay, I think we have your problem. I'm like, okay, good. So what can we do? Well, I have two options for you. Said, okay. So what are the options? He said, well, I can rebuild the base of the, I guess he called a handler where the thing in the garage is. Is you can rebuild that. That's where it was holding water problem. And I go, okay, what's that run? He goes, well, you're probably looking at like $3,000 to $4,000. I'm like, okay, got it. What's the other solution? thinking that the other solution is like better. That's, I figured he waited to the end for the best solution. He was the worst solution. So the second solution was, he said, well, your air conditioner is about 5 years old. I'm like, okay, 5 years old. Like, all right, no big deal. He goes, we would change out everything. I go, like the whole thing? Yeah. I said, why don't you just put a new handler in? He goes, well, I can't do that. The EPA doesn't allow us. I guess apparently the serial number or whatever for the handler has to be the same as the serial number for the actual main unit. I go, what? I go, so I'm getting to the punchline for you. I haven't got there yet. So I looked down at my daughter and I go to my daughter because she's headed I was going to the office with her. And I said, hey, Leah. She goes, yeah. I go, you know the Tuttle Twins books you read and the show you watch? I go, she goes, yeah. I go, this is why they always say the government sucks and they get involved with everything. She goes, oh, so I'm programming her. Like the EPA says you can't have a brand new handler, but it can't be the same as the unit outside. We have a five-year-old AC system, Morley, and it's not under warranty anymore. But the fact that it's 5 years old, something broke, you might have to just replace the whole system for $15,000 to $20,000.
Oh my God.
Now, here's the punchline for you. It's not about me ranting against government. It's about where Morley comes in. So I said, well, let me understand something to the guy. And he goes, by the way, he says, I'm only 6 weeks on the job, so I don't know if I can help you with this. I'm going to have to get a project manager to help you with the solutions. I'm like, why is this so hard? Like, why do you need a project manager to fix the solution? So I said, why is it backing up? Like, I'm this strange person that just asks why, you know, why is it broken to start with? He said, well, they back up with gunk. I go, yeah, I understand that. I go, which I don't understand that either. I go, the fact that you guys have to come out here twice a year to dry vac a tube with some green slime in it, like, blows my mind. And I owe you like $500 a year for that. I go, well, here's a question. I go, why is the slime backing up in it anyway? He goes, hold on, ready? He goes, well, it does that when we switched from copper over to aluminum tube. And I said,
too good to be true.
I said, so I was all like fired up at this point, but I know, as my wife tells me, like, you're arguing the wrong guy. Like, he can't do anything for you, right? Like, there's no point. So I go, hey, maybe there's something to that copper piping. he says, yeah, it is antimicrobial. He goes, yo, copper's antimicrobial. I go, so why'd you switch over to aluminum? He goes, I think he said it was cheaper or something like that. I go, so I could pay more and it worked longer, or I can pay less and I have to fix it all the time.
Priceless. That's designed obsolescence, right?
Copper, Morley.
I've heard of it.
And I said to my wife, I go, hey, by the way, I called her because she was away. I said, hey, apparently things break because there's not enough copper in them. She goes, well, it's expensive and people used to steal it. And I go, I'll take my risks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Morley, it led back to copper again.
Too simple. One of my heroes is, she's no longer with us. Her name was Myra Fields. And she was at the USDA from 1981 to 2001, 1982 to 2001. She was there for 20 years. And her expertise was copper nutrition, copper research.
Okay. I think I remember you mentioning her name.
Yeah, no, I've probably read 25 or 30 of her articles. For some reason, I don't know, I got this knowingness that you need to find out more about her. Like, really? And I started Googling and found out about her husband, who he was a city planner in Baltimore, where I grew up. It's very funny. And she was in Bethesda, Beltsville, Maryland. He was up in Baltimore. And what's really interesting is she came to the USDA. She passed away in 2014, about the time that I really pick up the charge for copper. It's kind of weird, kind of creepy. And the significance is that today I found three articles that I'd never heard of before.
Oh.
And these are blockbuster articles. And one is, I've known for a long time that fructose is not our friend. We've talked about it. But I didn't have the precision of understanding all the impacts that I found in this article from 1991 by Dr. Fields. And I've been trying to find out where she went to graduate school. She has a PhD. And, you know, I'm thinking Cornell, I'm thinking Columbia, Harvard, you know, the usual suspects. Turns out she got her doctorate in University of Leeds in England. Like, that's where she grew up. It's like, I would never have figured that out, but it was in her husband's obituary. It's fascinating. And, but this article that she wrote in 1991 was talking about the impact that fructose has, not just on copper, causes copper deficiency. It's a known biological fact that fructose is very hard on copper status.
People get mad when you bring up, when you take away the fructose, Morley.
I know. And they can get over it. And, and now this is really serious. I know that low copper creates high iron in the liver. I know that. It's like so indelibly emblazoned in my brain, what's left of it. And I'd never put it in the context of a high fructose diet. So when I'm banging on fructose, I'm not talking about I had some fruit today. I'm talking about it's in my food system. It's in my drinks. It's everywhere in my diet, and I'm not aware of it. And it's insidious. But what it does is it causes a buildup of iron in the liver. That's not your friend. But here's the catch. It causes blood tests to make it seem like you have anemia.
Oh.
When in fact the iron is stuck in the liver, it's not in the blood, and then people get pumped full of iron as a result.
I hear it all the time. They're going to get more iron, Morley.
I know. It's really quite tragic. And so especially seniors and pregnant women, which was just horrible. But the thing is, the iron is stuck because the recycling system requires copper. We've talked about it. And it isn't just the liver, though. I've known about the spleen. We know the spleen's important, right?
Mm-hmm. Immune, blood cleanser.
Immune system, right? But it's also heavily involved in iron recycling.
Mm.
So every second of every day, 2.5 million red blood cells need to be broken down and replaced every second. 2.5 million, that's a lot of, wow. In 24 hours, it's 2 trillion red blood cells. And guess where this happens? In the spleen. Spleen's a tiny little organ. And this is the part that had eluded me that I think is really important for people to understand. Everyone's worried about their ferritin, right? Either it's too high or it's too low. Guess where ferritin comes from? I thought it was the liver.
Spleen.
No, it's a spleen. And it turns out that when the when the spleen is breaking down the red blood cell, the ferritin gets released. But before it gets released, this is the most important part, the iron gets dumped into the spleen.
Mm.
And so what's getting secreted into the bloodstream is empty shotgun shells, and there are countless researchers that verify that. So you have actually have three different forms of spleen. You have what's called heavy chain, principally in the heart, light chain, principally in the liver and the spleen, and then you have what's it's called S ferritin. It's secreted ferritin, and it's a light chain. And the difference between heavy and light, heavy has heavy metal. Who's the heavy metal? Oh, it's that copper thing, you know. And copper allows ferritin to act like a ATM machine. Put the iron in, take the iron out, put the iron in, take the iron out. And when there isn't heavy chain, if there isn't copper, then the body resorts to a very crude mechanism using hydrogen peroxide. And it gives us a lot of static, creates a lot of stress. And it's not clean. And that's really what loads up the liver, is this light chain form of iron.
Interesting.
No, it's absolutely fascinating. And then we find out that the spleen is the one that's spitting out the secreted ferritin. It's empty. And so all these decisions are being made on empty shotgun shells. And then, so the spleen is secreting the ferritin. Oh yeah, there's another thing that they do. It turns out, you've heard of hemoglobin A1C.
That's right, yes.
Glycated hemoglobin. Well, guess where that is? It's inside the red blood cell. And then when the spleen breaks up the red blood cell, because that's its job, it's called lyase, it mm-hmm. splices it, the hemoglobin A1C is given out. And then it goes into the bloodstream. So the spleen is not just the source of the ferritin, the spleen is the source of the hemoglobin A1C. And again, the number that people are focusing on, especially if you have sugar issues,
right.
it's the percent of hemoglobin that's glycated. So it's supposed to be less than 5.4% of your blood. And I've got clients who go up in the 20s.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's insane. But here's the important thing. There is a known, recognized correlation between serum ferritin and glycated or hemoglobin A1C. So that the higher the serum ferritin, the higher the hemoglobin A1C is going to be. They come up together. They rise together. And so that's a good thing to know, right? And so that, again, the ferritin is empty. The ferritin in the bloodstream is empty, but the protein is rising in the blood. It means there's a metabolic crisis in the spleen, and the hemoglobin A1C is rising.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are linked. In the world of diabetes, they know that high ferritin means high glycation of the hemoglobin. And that's why they worry about high ferritin in the blood, because they know it has a corollary with. Now, stay with that. So again, it has nothing to do with iron. It's about a storage protein and sugar. Now, when you ingest a high fructose diet, not an apple, relax, folks. When you have a high fructose diet, it increases the glycation. The hemoglobin A1C increases sevenfold in the spleen.
Oof.
Think that might overwhelm the spleen. That's what Rob Lustig is the one who brought that to my attention. And it's like, it's a wow factor. Sevenfold increase in hemoglobin A1C in a person who's on a high fructose diet. And so we've got this high ferritin, high A1C based on fructose, right? Based on sugars and iron going together. Again, iron and sugar, they're connected. Fat and copper, they're connected. Completely different axis of metabolism. And so we know that high ferritin means high sugar. Hyperglycemia is the term. Hyperglycemia is the gateway into metabolic syndrome. You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, there's a flip side to that. It's called hypoglycemia.
Right.
Low blood sugar, right? And a lot of people suffer from hypoglycemia because they can't regulate their sugar because the liver is confused and what have you. But doesn't it stand to reason that if the high sugar is correlated with high ferritin, doesn't it make sense that hypoglycemia, low blood sugar, would be correlated with low ferritin? It has nothing to do with iron. It's not an iron marker. And I think there's so many people, and again, I haven't found a study that says, yeah, Morley, you're right. But my instincts tell me that makes sense to me. There's a misunderstanding about the iron recycling, and the ferritin is showing low because the blood sugars are showing low because the body has sugar dysregulation. And I think, to me, the worst possible thing you can do is take someone with low ferritin, again, empty shotgun shells, and pump them full of iron. It happens all the time. And I think crisis on this planet.
Sometimes I have to laugh when I say it. I sometimes wonder how the human body continues on.
I know. Absolutely. And the thing is, I think people need to be more aware of how much their food is being abused by the system. And I think the question that doctors need to ask their patients who have, quote, low ferritin, tell me about the drinks you're drinking. What's your diet? What's your daily intake of food? What are the sweets or so-called sweets that you're having? And get away from this idea that it's low iron when I think it's a deceptive marker for a sugar issue. And that puts it on a completely different playing field to understand why this is happening. And the issue is fructose, not iron.
It's almost as if there's a concerted effort to remove copper from society and add iron.
Totally. And so then the other article that I found by Dr. Fields, again, this woman, she was an absolute genius. I tracked down her oldest son. He lives in Cleveland. I left him a message, said, I want to talk. I want to find her dissertation. I want to find out what her early thinking was. Whether he'll call me back, I don't know. But the other article I found, I just want people to know how hard I work. I don't just find an article and, oh God, that's unusual. I want to get the gestalt around this woman's thinking. Where was her thinking formed? It was the University of Leeds. 1965, she published an article with a surgeon about taking out the vagus nerve, a vagotomy. They wanted to see how the animals would respond without a vagus nerve. What is she doing in 1965? Whoa, that's pretty intense.
She was ahead.
Yeah, right. And so what's the vagus nerve run by? PAM enzyme. And then we get to this other article in 1991. Never seen it before. We're feeding the animals high fructose diet, not apples and grapes, high fructose diet. I came across a really clever video. And the person said, high fructose is not natural. And of course, the industry spokesman said, of course it is. And the guy said, wait a minute. I, I can go into a cornfield and I can squeeze the corn as much as I want. It's not going to be fructose coming out. I thought that was good. I like that. So what she did in this other study was there's an iron chelator called deferoxamine. It's taking iron out of the liver is what it does. And she just wanted to see if unchallenged animals that are exposed to fructose and they are given a copper deficient diet, they're going to get congestive heart failure and they're going to die. I mean, it's they know exactly what's going to happen. And so then they had a group that did that. Then they had a group that, you know, high fructose diet corn, copper, and they still got sick, but they didn't die. That was good. Mm-hmm. But what happened with the high fructose diet in both sets of animals is iron loaded up in the liver. And when that happens, it affects fat metabolism. The liver enlarges, gets bigger, whatever it's called. It gets big, technical term, and it starts to accumulate fatty deposits.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they did was they administered this iron chelator to a group of rats to take the iron out of the liver to see what happened. Bingo bongo, they were fine. It was iron causing the problem. I mean, lack of copper is a huge issue. Can't dismiss that. But when copper's low, iron goes high. And so all she did was just lower the iron. And this the point that she makes in this article, which I think is really significant, is as soon as iron gets high, it overpowers the copper.
Mm.
It's like, you know, I've got friends who have older brothers, and they can't get a word in edgewise, because the older brothers are just squishing them the whole time.
Right.
And so that's what happens metabolically inside our liver. The liver is supposed to be run by copper and retinol. But when it starts to fill with iron, because we're eating the wrong diet, or there's some deception in the blood test, and people don't know that this ferritin thing is a head fake.
Right.
And that an animal eating a high fructose diet becomes anemic, but it's because the iron is stuck in the liver. It's not circulating the way it's supposed to. These are important aspects of our physiology to understand. And the question that you asked of your repair guy, why? That's the question that's not asked in the doctor's office.
No.
Your vitamin D's low. Why? Your sugar's too high. Why? You have fatty liver disease. Why? I think people need to begin to challenge the assertions and start asking for the explanation, the metabolic physiological explanation for what's going on. And don't just accept that, oh, I've got a broken liver, because it can be fixed. And that's what Myra Fields was able to prove. That once you get the iron out of the liver, it snaps back. It knows exactly what to do. And the other thing that happens is that this was fascinating. The pancreas in a high fructose diet, not grapes and peaches, but high fructose diet, we know that the spleen takes it on the chin, the liver takes it on the chin, pancreas. Pancreas becomes atrophied. That's the start of diabetes right there.
That's right.
And then when she took the iron out of the liver, pancreas came back.
You mean the body will regenerate itself?
Yep. there's in classic diabetes research, they know that as the iron builds in the system, and most people who have diabetes don't know they're just becoming iron magnets, but it's a good thing to know. Iron's building in the system because copper's MIA. But iron's building, and it affects the liver, the spleen, and the pancreas. It affects the stomach. It's going to affect the kidneys. It's going to affect a lot of tissue, but those are some of the principal sites. And so what happens is there's cells in the pancreas. They're called acinar, A-C-I-N-A-R, acinar cells, and they morph into hepatocytes. They assume the morphology and the structure of a liver cell. Fascinating. And what they know is that upon repletion of copper, restoring copper into the diet, restoring copper into the animal's body, 60% of those transformed hepatocytes will go back to being acinar cells.
Hmm.
Not 100%, but 60%. Well, that you can function on 60%. You can't function on 0%. And so it's just like, what's absolutely mind-numbing, Jason, is this research that's just revealing all of the dynamics that nobody knows about. And they think they have a disease, and it's tattooed here, and then they give up. And they don't know that there are proven steps to correct this that are largely based around minerals, almost exclusively minerals and vitamins, of course, you know. And it's like, wow. And that's what the basis of the root cause protocol is. It's not rocket science. And it's just, I've got a client who's 43, and he down and out, and now he's coming back. Doctors can't believe it. So I'm going out Saturday to a little town in North Carolina to meet with 15 doctors and school them up about copper and why this guy is snapping back. I mean, it's like his lights went out, his lights are back on. And they're like, what happened? They don't get it. And what I'm going to do is take these articles by Myra Fields out and say, this is the basic right here. This woman is, the true understanding of copper and human physiology hinges on this one woman. Myra Fields. Everyone should say a prayer for her devotion and dedication to this. And she was very clever. But here's the tragedy. Guess how she died?
How?
Brain cancer. Blastoglioma. You know what causes blastoglioma?
Iron.
Iron, absolutely. And what part of that didn't she understand? That's why it's like, wait a minute. Maybe it was because it was too close. This absolute genius ends her life at the age of 77. Very tragic, in 2014.
Hmm. Interesting.
And so people don't know about Myra Fields. Doctors certainly don't know about Myra Fields. They don't know about the research that was done at the USDA Human Nutrition Lab, which is like amazing research. And when did Myra Fields start beating her chest about fructose, high fructose diet? 1982. So that was 40 years ago. And what have they done to change it? Nothing. Oh, all right, you had a doozy, I've got a doozy. Okay, you ready? Are you sitting down?
I'm standing, but I have a chair ready to go.
Okay, all right. A little, you might need a net. So it turns out, fructose, high fructose diet, folks. HFD, high fructose diet affects sex hormones in men and women differently. This is absolutely, I think this is fascinating. In men, in little male rats, and this is true in the two-legged rats too, but in the male rats exposed to high concentrations of high fructose diet, down regulation of testosterone.
Mm.
And it has little effect on the estrogen in the male body. Okay? So last time I checked, I think there are a bunch of guys who are worrying about their T. It's just a number, right? But they're worrying about it. Let's get to the women. What do you think fructose does in a woman's body? What would you guess?
I would say it shoots up estrogen or jacks it up.
No, just the opposite. It's the inverse of the guys. It increases testosterone in women and decreases estrogen in women.
Really?
Yeah. Fructose, high fructose diet. So doesn't that seem to implicate the fact that they're trying to create an androgynous society?
Absolutely.
Create the illusion that there's 32 different genders, right? Put people in prison for saying that there aren't, but actually create one gender using this food substance that's really sweet, that it's basically metabolic poison, that causes the individual to become a magnet for iron, be more robotic. Get it? See where I'm going with this?
Like kind of like the Tin Man and Rust.
There you go, right? But the androgynous nature of it is fascinating, and that's why they haven't stopped using it. Because there's a bigger agenda. Yes, yeah. No?
Oh. Isn't it obvious at this point? I mean,
well, I don't know.
I'm saying out there. I mean, I'm just waiting until the public actually like wakes up. I mean, how many more Instagram, Facebook, Twitter influencers can put out information about Dunkin' Donuts, 100 grams of sugar, and like high fructose corn syrup? How many more Kool-Aid packs does your kid have to drink before people are like, you know what? My kid's fat. I'm fat. They have a disease. I have a disease. I wonder if it's the food.
No.
No.
Why would my food, why would my grocer sell me something bad?
Why would my government approve something that doesn't work?
Exactly. That was the next question.
Jeez. Like, is this?
So I heard Tucker talking to some people in Detroit a couple days ago. He was trying to get them fired up. Got to organize. People don't have the energy to organize. They don't have the fight. I think correct. So it's like he's trying to inspire them to, this is Revolution 2.0, and think about the pastors and they were, you know, carrying the muskets and blah, blah, blah. And people are like, oh yeah, okay. What else do you want to say, Tucker? People don't have it. And that's like, it's kind of scary. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that's uniform across the country, but it's a lot of people.
Well, I think I know what's happening. I think I know what they're doing. But it's, you're not going to like this. You're not going to agree with this, but you're going to understand it. Ready?
Yeah.
Did you know, well, let me preface it with this. Did you know that there's two sides to eugenics?
No, I did not. So this will be fascinating. Okay.
There's obviously eugenics, which is like Planned Parenthood style eugenics, which is just murder people straight up, right?
Right.
Tesla. Nikola Tesla was a eugenicist.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
Did you know that? So
no.
He wrote about it himself. Actually, he was in an article. Now here it is though. He was not a eugenicist as in like, let's kill a bunch of people really fast and make and whatever. But he did believe in societal cleansing for the purpose of keeping the IQ very high.
Interesting.
Now, I'm not saying I agree with that or disagree with that, right? I understand. I get where I understand where they're coming from. I don't like it necessarily. Mm-hmm. However, I do know that Mr. Trump and others are connected to Tesla in many different ways.
Interesting.
And okay. this is my thought process on it. And again, I'm not condoning. What if you know that the American society has been poisoned and they're not right. capable of fighting back?
Right.
So you allow the release of certain bioweapons to clean it up and restart.
Yep.
And again, I'm not, I have my arguments for both. I have both arguments, right? Sure. But I think I see what they're doing because to your point, when you run out there and you go, let's start a revolution, right? I'm not condoning violence, everybody in social media world for all the AI following. But
organize to make change. It doesn't have to be a revolution.
There's going to be a change, but right. the American people are not capable of that change. I tell my wife every day, I go, I'm so tired, not tired physically. You hear the so 3 years ago, all these patriots stand up. This is horrible. We know what's happening. This is terrible. We're not going to do this. Blah, blah. They're railing against every governmental faction out there, et cetera. Right. 3 years later, they're just like lockstep right in position. Right. So I'm like, these people are these many of our patriotic allies in America are not going to stand up. Like they're tired. They don't even know that they're tired. They think this is normal.
Right. That's true. You're absolutely right.
Right. I've talked to you about this, you know, you're like, okay, how do we get the message out to more people?
Right.
Morley, we have a meme war because people can't read.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's depressing, but you're right.
So yeah, that's where we like, I told Morley, I'm like, we need to turn all your stuff into memes and reels. Why is that? Because that's all they'll watch.
That's right. That's all it'll take the time to.
I said it today. I have 1, 2, 3. I have 5 papers here. Not on copper, but on other stuff regarding, you know, right. post-humanism, transhumanistic stuff, etc. And I said, I can sit down and read through these, highlight them, write notes on them, just like you do. The average American, Netflix.
Nope.
They don't have the they've been dumbed down via the fructose and everything else to the extent that they're not even going to try to get through the first paragraph.
Right. Once they get to a word they don't know, they give up.
Gone. Done.
That's right.
Yep. That's where we are. I hate to say that because it sounds so depressing, but at the same time, I think you have to look at the source of the problem before you actually move on.
Well, and I appreciate that. I think I'm very much in line with what you're talking about. I just think if more people knew how simple it was to turn their body around, maybe they would give it a shot.
I agree. It's
and the point that Dr. Fields makes in both of these articles is to amplify that it's iron causing the problems. Iron's causing the oxidative stress, the lipid peroxidation, the DNA dings, the this, the that. And that's not, people don't talk about that. I mean, we talk about it, with RCP, you and I have that conversation.
But it's not sexy, that's why.
Well, it's the truth.
You know what's sexy? You know what's sexy? Everyone out there talking about diabetes, talking about thyroid, talking about this, and not to say that there aren't issues with those organs,
right?
But it's not. Here's the rude, horrible thing. It's not marketable enough yet.
Maybe so.
And I'm not saying that to you. I'm not saying to you like, hey, no. I'm just saying.
I'm not giving up. Don't worry.
No. I'm saying that other doctors out there right now.
Right.
They're on other trains, as in, no, we're gonna push this thing into the ground and make as much money off it as we can. We're gonna do that over here, this over here. Like, if it's too simple, Morley, it's not taking off yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does make sense. And the thing is, what's really vogue in diabetes research now, or diabetes solutions, is incretin, glucagon-like peptides, GLP. Mm-hmm. They're the rage, you know. It's like, so you've got the big dog, the insulin dog. You've got insulin growth factor,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got the next dog is incretin. This is the rage. And what people don't take the time to say is, well, why isn't my incretin working? I just want some of that. And they don't understand that they're moving our cheese constantly.
Oh, yeah.
People don't realize it. And now they know that our copper status is so low that the incretin won't work. Well, here I've got, you know, what's the phrase? Problem, reaction, solution.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the solution for you because I created the problem.
But you know what the fun thing to do is?
What?
The more fun thing to do. It's like a video game. You know what the more fun thing to do is? The more fun thing to do is go to your local pharmacy, get the medication that they prescribed you, but then stop in the aisle and pick up a product from Abbott Labs, which is a little it's a plastic disc that you put on your arm and then you connect it to your cell phone. So now it's more fun to connect that via Bluetooth to your phone and watch your blood sugars go up and down and manage those with the medication they gave you. Because now we can monitor ourselves, and that seems exciting.
You know,
I'm telling you, this is how people's minds work. That to them, it's like a freaking video game.
I hear you. I've got a handful of type 2 diabetes clients who are, to a person, the condition of diabetes is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very stressful because people have no control over their body. They don't know how their blood sugars are going to respond to this meal or that stressor or whatever. They're constantly checking their blood sugar status. People are getting on the recuperate train, and they find they have control over their blood sugar for the first time in their life. It's a predictable. They're not all off of the medications. Several of them are off their insulin, but the thing is, they have a predictable control over their blood sugar.
Mm.
And while I hear you talking about playing a game with your blood sugar rising and falling, I think most people who have diabetes don't want to have diabetes. They don't want to have that sensation of unpredictability and the stress that comes with that.
I hope you're right.
Well, I can just say that people that I'm working with.
Yeah. No, I hope you're right. It's
maybe it's a segment of society. People over 50 are different than people under 50.
Could be. That could be as well. Some questions.
Cool.
Let's do some fired off questions here.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire questions. And the best way to lower iron is to donate blood. Yes? Question mark.
Yep.
That's great. Yep. How many times a year would you say?
So men and postmenopausal women, 4 times a year. A woman who still has a menstrual cycle, she can do it 2 times a year. But I've got some clients who still have a cycle who still do it 4 times a year.
Okay.
So the cutoff would be, I think you have to be 16 in order to donate blood.
Oh, God, I hate those. I hate needles. But I understand. Lupus, copper, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's autoimmune. So there are about 100 different autoimmune conditions, and they have 3 things in common, all of them. You have the macrophages that we were talking about, the Pac-Men that gobble up the dying red blood cells. They have ferritin inside them. But when the iron gets so great, that ferritin becomes hemosiderin,
Mm.
And so it's 10 times as much iron inside the macrophage. That's the first thing they have in common. It's called hemosiderin-laden macrophages. Second thing they have in common is parasites.
Yep.
And third is emotional distress.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're in emotional distress, you have fear. spell it right, F-E hyphen A-R, iron activates rust, become a magnet for iron, and it speeds the magnetizers.
Oh, you kill me when you do that. F-E-A-R, fear.
Fear.
Iron activates rust. God.
Yeah, and that's, most of society is still in a state of fear from 2020.
Oh, by the way, I have you to blame. Because now everywhere I look, I can now, because what I've been doing for a long time is killing the parasites with people. And yep. Everywhere I look, I can find scholarly articles on copper, iron, and parasites. And yep. High iron, parasites are just running out of control and they're having a party. My friend's gray hair is turning dark and back to natural color after starting your copper supplementation.
There you go. That's great.
I got to work on that.
Copper and B5, and sometimes people respond to tryptophan can also okay. help as well.
Okay, I'll check that out too. Oh, I wanted to tell you something. Here's another doozy. Not a good, a good doozy. Ready?
A good doozy, yeah. I could use a good doozy.
So I have a friend in the nutrition world who has started a DNA company with a lab that's fantastic in the U.S. And it's DNA that covers nutrition, things like that. I think I told you a little bit about it, right? And so I've been using this. I've probably done, we've done quite a few, maybe 100 DNA tests so far. Okay. And it goes that it's nutrition based, has nothing to do with medicine, anything like that. It's what are they potentially missing? What are they low in, like DNA, what the DNA is showing?
Right.
100% of them, Morley. Not 90, not 50, not 98, not 99%. 100% of them have a higher than normal or extreme need for copper.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. That's great to hear.
And I thought, I was like, oh my God, every single one of them, I scroll down, I'm like, copper. And it's not just copper, like extreme requirement.
Right. So what would be helpful for people to know is that there are on the structure of the DNA, there are things called introns and introns, or exons and introns, excuse me. Exons.
Sounds like oil companies.
Yeah, I know, right? But the introns have binding sites, copper binding sites. And if there isn't copper in the copper binding site, you get a glitch, it doesn't work right. And I think I no longer believe that there are gene defects. I think there are just mineral deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just copper, but I think in large part, when you understand how the gene transcribes, when you understand how important copper is to guanine, one of the key nucleotides, one of the yep. four nucleotides, when you understand that the iron that gets into the nucleus needs to be stored in ferritin heavy chain, that means the copper's got to be in the nucleus to make sure that ATM machine's working. So I think people just don't realize how copper-centric we are because they've been taught that we are supposed to be afraid of copper.
100%. Hold on. How can a type 1 diabetic get off insulin?
That's a great question.
We've had luck with parasitic stuff. I don't remember off the top of my head if we've ever deleted it and reversed it 100%, but it's been down to almost no insulin needed. How about you?
No, I've never even tried.
Okay.
But I think what's important for people to realize, again, we've got this morphology thing going. The ACE in our cells have probably become hepatocytes. They will revert back. That would be important to know. There is an iron buildup in the pancreas as well as the liver.
Okay.
You have to deal with that. They are the tragedy here, at least in the States. I'm not sure what it's like worldwide, but when we have a blood sugar issue, they default to insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Insulin is not the solution.
Correct.
And so we've got to kind of work back from that this idea that all all sugar problems are going to be solved by insulin. They're not. And I think that there are a handful of things that can be done to begin to move someone with type 1. And I think you're right. The type 1 cases that I know, especially people that were not born type 1, that became type 1, all involve pathogens.
Yep, 100%. I'm going to put two questions together for you. The first question is, I enjoy liver, but do I still need copper supplements? And this is what I'm going to tag into it, somebody else's. What are your top, say, 3 to 5 foods to get the most copper in?
Okay, well, so food used to have copper.
Yep.
Pre-1990. Glyphosate has changed that. We're now 30 years into glyphosate. And folks, glyphosate is a perfect copper chelator. It's very hard to find food.
Right.
Historically, shellfish, organ meats, nuts and seeds are some of the more robust forms of copper-rich foods. Chocolate, of course, you know, very popular.
A lot of copper in chocolate?
Not a lot, but enough that you're going to benefit
from it.
Good
for me.
But the thing is, we don't realize how little copper is really in the environment. So when someone says, I love to eat my beef liver, that's great. What you need to do is a soil sample of where the grass is growing of those animals and find out what the mineral content is of the soil.
Good point.
And, you know, Ben Edwards talks about his farmers in beef farmers in Texas decided to test the system. They did needle biopsies of their cattle.
Oh, wow.
And guess what they found? Very little copper in the liver. And so they started to supplement with it, but it's like, it's not the same as the soil having it, getting into the grass, getting it into the stomachs of the animal. So unfortunately, I think we're in an era where we have an obligate need to supplement with copper. And that's the whole basis behind the Recuperate. That was designed in 2021, folks, in response to 2020. And people need to know that COVID was all about copper and iron. COV, copper's vanished. ID, iron's dysregulated. Copper's vanished, iron's dysregulated. And so anyone with long COVID needs more copper.
Last question, and then I'll make a statement that I think is interesting.
A doozy statement or just a statement?
Statement. Is copper still recommended is copper still recommended in case is a thalassemia?
Beta thalassemia, that's a really cool question. Like Jerome Akola's dad had a thalassemia disorder and was constantly getting iron infusions. And I think it eventually took his life. But he was like in his 80s or something. I think he had a very full life. But I think anyone with an iron disorder, hemochromatosis, thalassemias, sickle cell disease, are copper deserts. Mm. Is it going to completely eradicate? I don't know that.
Yeah.
But I think that it's going to mitigate and ameliorate many of the symptoms associated with those conditions. So I think people need to be a lot more copper centric, a lot more curious, spell it right, C-U-R-I-O-U-S, and really just see how your body responds.
Totally.
But what I can tell you is we live in an iron toxic world. We are being poisoned with excess iron. And I will say it, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I do not believe it's possible on this planet, where iron is the number one element on the planet, I do not believe it's possible to have iron deficiency anemia. You may have anemia of chronic inflammation, which is a copper disorder, but the idea that someone has no iron, I don't think it's possible. It's stuck. And that's what Myra Fields was talking about back in the 1990s.
You will end on this. You made a mention about the lack of copper in the liver when they did the biopsy and the fact that the soil just didn't have what it needs. And I feel, and this should be so obvious because we both have been in this world for so long from a nutrient deficiency standpoint.
Right.
I think we now, and there might even be tests that have to be run at some point. I think now any of us who are awake and conscious of what we're eating, we have to start not only testing, not personally testing our food, but there might need to be farms out there who are actually testing for densities, for nutrient densities. Absolutely. We have to start asking, one, where our food is coming from, but hey, I need to know before I buy stuff, you know, what are your levels? Where are you at? Almost a evolving of the nutrient label or the nutrition label in the back of a package. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. I think we need to be a lot more assertive.
Yeah.
We're being poisoned. I was born in 52. I've been exposed to a lot of crap in my 70 years. And so I think we need to be we have the right to get some level of understanding about what are the conditions, what are the growing conditions, what are the mineral and vitamin conditions that this animal was exposed to, and not be polite. Oh, I know you have a hard job, or going to a restaurant and know, oh, I know it's hard. You're cutting corners. I know you're using canola oil and you're using fructose. Right. And no, we gotta say, look, I've got an allergic reaction to canola and fructose. So yep. what can you make for me that doesn't involve either of those?
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought of this, not because I don't know if it's a genius idea, but I'm feeling now an evolving of the label on our foods. I want to know what's in my food, not just toxin wise.
Right.
I want to know what levels of nutrients, minerals, vitamins I'm getting at this point.
It seems like a really basic requirement.
It should be part of the plan already, but this is where we are now.
But think about what they did. They tell us how much sugar's there. They tell us how much calcium's there. They tell us how much iron is there.
Very rarely do you get a mineral.
There's no other minerals.
No mineral, you know.
I can tell you how many, maybe some of the vitamins, ascorbic acid, wink, wink, you know, vitamin D, wink, wink, but nothing that is viable or healthy or going to support my metabolism. We were just being corralled into this little corner of like, well, here's the little data that we're going to give you now. Okay, stop asking questions.
That's right.
No, we got to start demanding to know. And I really mean it. You go into a restaurant, don't take their times are tough and they're really trying to. No, I'm allergic to glyphosate. I'm allergic to canola and I'm allergic to fructose. So build a meal around that, please.
Do me a favor.
Yep.
I have a platform that I can start adding not just videos, but I can add pictures and I can also add documentation. Hmm. So if you want to throw anything over to me that we can put up on Copper, I'll do that with some videos and good stuff like that.
Cool. All right.
So
let's explore that.
As always, sir, much appreciation for you and what you're doing. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, I appreciate the chance to have this conversation on a very regular basis. It's very gratifying.
As always. Yeah. For Morley, it's Dr. Dean. It is Monday with Morley's. Mondays with Morley. There's only one Morley. Don't worry. Everybody have a great Monday. We'll see you all next week. Take care.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.